This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. There's a new Hollywood movie opening this weekend about Rick Warshie Jr., better known as White Boy Rick. The movie is called White Boy Rick.
Break it down, the dime rocks. Get yourself a crew and offload it. Before long, people know you're legit.
It's Ricky! He won!
Scott Bernstein was a consultant on the film. He's also a journalist with the Oakland Press and an author of books on organized crime in Michigan. Welcome to the program.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
I should say happy welcome again. Here. Yeah.
Yeah.
As a reporter, I'm wondering, did you cover any of White Boy Rick? You're probably not old enough, right?
Well, I didn't cover what I call the first part of the story, which was in the 1980s, but I was the journalist that brought the story back to life in 2007, 2008, and was able to uncover what I call the second part of the story, which was the ability to confirm that he had been an undercover FBI informant as a 14-year-old and that White Boy Rick was, in fact, a creation of the U.S. government. That was a narrative that hadn't been played out during the 1980s coverage, and I take a lot of pride with being the journalist that really brought the story back to life, reinvigorated the conversation about White Boy Rick, and brought the injustice that really is his 30-year incarceration back to the masses over the last 10 years.
Now, I read some of the coverage at the time, you know, in historical articles, and I know at least one of the reporters who worked on it at the time. And then Rick Warshie Jr. was a drug kingpin who masterminded everything all as a teenager. Sounded like a great story. Do you think the understanding of the story has changed in recent years because of work like yours and the documentary that was recently released and now this movie?
Yeah, which I actually executive produced the documentary as well as served as a consultant on this film. Yeah, it's definitely changed. He wasn't a drug kingpin. He was an aspiring drug dealer, an aspiring what they would call weight man, someone who wanted to be a big-time wholesaler of cocaine. And he did it for a short period of time and, frankly, wasn't very good at it, got arrested and has been in prison since he was 18. But the idea that as a 14- or a 15-year-old or a 16-year-old that he was somehow, you know, lording over the Detroit drug scene just was a falsehood.
Why do you think the media latched onto that the way it did?
Because he was someone that became a high-profile figure by the time he was 16, 17 years old. He was running in those circles, and he was being embraced by a lot of the top dogs, the Demetrius Holloways, the Maserati Rick Carters. His underworld career was co-signed by Johnny Curry, one of the biggest dope boys on the East Side, and that's who the FBI had sent him in to infiltrate, and he was able to rise through the ranks of the Curry boys. And just by kind of being in that orbit, you know, it was kind of like guilt by association.
Remind us how White Boy Rick ended up becoming an informant.
He was recruited out of eighth grade by a federal narcotics task force to join the Curry brothers gang and provide intelligence to that task force on the goings-ons of the Curry brothers gang. It was a operation that really was geared at taking down the mayor of Detroit, Coleman Young. Mm. Johnny Curry was married to Coleman Young's niece,
right.
And the task force, which was made up of the FBI, DPD, and DEA, saw that by taking down Johnny Curry, they would be able to flip him and have Johnny give them the mayor. Now, that didn't happen, but that was the ultimate goal of that task force. So when they did that, it was like it was very drastic measures, taking a kid right out of eighth grade, a 14-year-old kid that had not much of a history at all on the streets. He had gotten into some petty crime as a juvenile and had worked with his father at gun shows selling weapons. But other than that, you know, he was a regular 14-year-old kid that, you know, played on his little league team and collected baseball cards, and the federal government took him and corrupted him. So I believe that federal task force was, you know, operating under the belief that the ends justify the means, and that, you know, rationalized for them why they could use a 14-year-old kid, you know, to bust drug gangs.
So let's talk about the movie a little bit. Hollywood can be notoriously bad when telling a based on a real story movie. When you were approached, what was your reaction? What did you want them to know you would and would not do for them?
Well, I was approached at the, you know, very early stages of this development. Sony and Studio 8 hired me as a consultant in 2015. I was kind of on the ground floor getting to see the machinations of how a Hollywood film goes from just an idea and a script to something that's actually being, you know, shot on screen with big Hollywood superstars like Matthew McConaughey and Bruce Dern and tens of millions of dollars being put into it. And it was an exciting experience, something that I'd always wished to be able to be a part of, and I was a part of it. And you know, yes, they fictionalized the story. They put some, you know, Hollywood glitz and glamour to the real story to make it more palatable to the big screen. So it's not, you know, it's not going to be 100% married to the real story of White Boy Rick, Rick Wershe Jr. and his father, Richard Sr. But, you know, it's pretty close.
Poetic license.
Yeah.
What did you want the producers and director to understand or not screw up about the White Boy Rick story?
I mean, I wanted them to understand how this guy was a political prisoner, that, you know, that he was plucked out of junior high school and prostituted by the U.S. government, corrupted. And then when they sucked him dry for information and got everything that they couldn't get out of him, i.e. an indictment against Johnny Curry, they threw him to the side. And then eventually they threw him in a jail cell and tried to throw the key away.
Rick Wershe Jr., who was supposed to be in jail life without probation.
He was sentenced to life without parole.
Yeah, and he got finally released last year after the law changed. So he's paroled in Michigan. Is he still in prison?
Yeah, he's actually – he was paroled from Michigan in 2017 and had to go over to serve a state sentence in Florida based on an arrest he took while behind bars in a federal witness protection unit back in 2005. So he's got a couple years to serve in Florida. That was a – he played a minor role in a stolen car ring from behind bars, and he's got a couple years left to do there. I think there's a very good chance he could be out and a free man by the summer of 2019.
Have you had contact with him about this movie? What's he think about this idea?
You know, he's been very excited about it, you know, being able to have your story told on the big screen, to be able to interact with big Hollywood moguls like the people that are making this film. I mean, the producers of this film have Oscars. To have Matthew McConaughey come in and sit with you in prison and play your father, you know, it's pretty heady for him. But I know that it's something that he's incredibly grateful for, the fact that Hollywood's come in and wants to shine a light on this, you know, giant injustice that really was kept under wraps for a long time.
A lot of movies about Detroit aren't necessarily shot in Detroit, and a lot of this wasn't either. How did they portray the city from Detroit in the 1980s? Did they do a good job?
I thought that the director, Jan Demange, you know, did an excellent job at, you know, setting a tone and a visual narrative, you know, capturing the real grittiness of what was going on, the kind of the dark times in our city where we were being ravished by the crack epidemic. There was a lot of destruction, a lot of despair. And I think that when you watch the movie, that aura comes across in by some outstanding directing by Jan Demange.
The film is White Boy Rick. Matthew McConaughey plays the father. Newcomer Richie Merritt, 17 years old, plays Rick Wershe Jr., and the movie is in theaters now. My guest is Scott Bernstein. You also have a new book to be released on Kindle. What's it called?
It's called White Boy Rick and Crime in Detroit. It's a compilation of my writings on him, on his case, on what was going on in that era over the last 10 years. I've done quite a bit of chronicling of Detroit in the 1980s. So just kind of put it all together into one ebook, and you can get that. And it's a quick read. And I think a lot of the stuff jumps off the page because, you know, the material is just so great.
Right.
It would be hard
not to. Fascinating story, yeah. It will be released tomorrow. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much, Lester.